This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Hi. Hello, everyone. Hi. Hello, Nuke. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. Okay. This one goes out to Walter Mitty. He knows why.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:30, just about 8, and you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And that was just a little bit of Walter Mitty right before he got thrown off a helicopter into freezing waters and punched a shark.
Mm-hmm. As, you know, just normal life before 2020, I think. That's what we were all doing, right?
Yes, when we could leave the house. Heck yes.
That clip made me, I've always loved that movie, but it's so fitting for today's theme, this idea of escape, of being trapped, right? And it was one of the first movies that came to mind for all of us when we came up with this theme.
Yeah, and also like just, looking through movies about travel and about like escaping somewhere for today's show, I didn't realize how many movies actually have people moving from point A to point B, like how many movies have like movement in it. Just people going across countries or going across states or road trips or in cars, planes, whatever it may be. It's a huge, huge plot piece or like a plot device. I didn't realize how many movies use that to further their storylines.
Friends, if you will permit me a small bit of philosophizing, I think it's been a year. It's been a real year. And I think the idea behind today's show is so much to do with physical movement, but also to do with, I think, feeling transported or carried away by something. And there are so many ways in which to do that. I mean, in the case of Walter Mitty, for instance, it's quite literal because he's like this very quiet guy who decides to grab life and go out there and, you know, see the world. And that's one way of doing things. But I think that sometimes your mind can feel carried away just by the story that's being told, or often visual style, which is something that we'll get to.
Yeah, and I think this year, more than most others, has probably nailed home for us how much we rely on films and TV and songs and, anything, I suppose art, photographs maybe, memes for some people, as a way of escaping our reality. A large part of it being that our reality is very static now. We're not supposed to leave home. And so even the most mundane things, my latest escapism, if you want to call it that, is actually Parks and Rec. And I've been binging episodes of Parks and Rec. And it feels to me like a world that I've left behind, and I feel sort of safe there. I think it's just something that people need right now.
The world of the mid-2000s.
ancient days and all.
The safe space. I'm also just realizing that Walter Mitty does both of the things that you just said, Lynn. So he mentally goes to places, like he zones out. And he also like physically goes to places after that. So the movie is kind of, it's more perfect, I think, the more we talk about it, about, you know, for our show and stuff. I think also one of the things I realize is that it gets very bittersweet watching movies that have crowded airports, crowded buses, crowded trains, any sort of like, you know, a group of people standing in a single space without a mask, or like, you know, just comfortably standing in a same space. We watched Tenet like not too long ago, and that movie seems like it came from a time that isn't real anymore, even though it's supposed to be set in today's world. And all the, looking through the list of the movies that, you know, I kind of watch clips on YouTube and stuff, they had the same effect. It all seemed like it came from a very long time ago, even though some of them were like from 2018 and 2019.
Don't you want to just bustle into the scene and slap masks on people and say, stand apart, stand apart, you're not supposed to do this? Because I really do have that feeling sometimes when watching scenes or movies or anything at all, which involves a lot of people and a lot of people crammed into small spaces. And I feel sad sometimes for what this year has done in that sense. You know, it's kind of crazy that new normal, very important, public safety, public health. I'm not downplaying any of that. But the fact that you can watch something now that was filmed back before this was an issue and still feel like, oh, I feel mildly uncomfortable at the idea of being so close to so many people, of having people kind of just breathing on each other.
So that's why I think for me, when we talk about escaping through cinema, the ones that I can do that the most easily with in this point in time tends to be things that are not of this world or reality at all. So when it's fantasy, or when it's set in a different era, or when it's set in the future, because then I can conceivably imagine, oh, this is a world where masks are not necessary, versus watching something that's supposed to be happening today, or in a world that's quite close to our today. And then it all just feels wrong, and I'm reminded of how wrong it feels. So that's not escapism. That's just a additional stress.
So that's interesting, you know, because I've never liked travel movies that take place in our world. Like, for some reason, I feel like it feels like an extended vlog to me, and not so much like a movie. So if they are going to go from point A to point B, or they're going to travel in a film, I want it to be either like intergalactic, or, you know, through dimensions or through different worlds, or they have to find like fictional spaces in our world, but they don't really exist. So places that they sort of modify to fit the plot or to fit the story, something like Jurassic Park. You know, there's no island with dinosaurs, not that we know of, but there's no islands with dinosaurs here. But I like films that go the extra mile to make it either sci-fi or quote-unquote unbelievable.
So the point being, we're talking today about movies or shows or anything really that has the ability to carry us away, to have us travel, whether it's mentally, emotionally, in a time where we can't travel physically. So what are your favorite movies that do that? You know, let us know what movies transport you to a place where you can escape from all of this. Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Well, on my planet, there's a legend about people like you. It's called Footloose. And in it, a great hero named Kevin Bacon. He teaches an entire city full of people with sticks up their butts that dancing, well, it's the greatest thing there is.
Who put the sticks up their butts?
What? No, that's just a...
That is cruel.
Just a phrase people use.
Peter Quill, and I am not some starry-eyed waif here to succumb to your pelvic sorcery.
BFM 89.9, it's 8:08. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn Sharmilan Arvin, and together we are talking about movies that just transport us to other places in a time where we simply cannot budge from our homes. If you'd like to share your favorites in this very broad category, call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And speaking of the MCU, we just heard a little bit of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wasn't that a perfect encapsulation of escapism in every way? It has everything. It has great music. It has references to Footloose, which in itself is a wonderful escapist film. It is literally Guardians of the Galaxy, which is just such a fun world to be in.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one thing about Guardians of the Galaxy is that it made me realize that most films about escapism or escapist films about travel and stuff, it's actually really about finding home. And I think if you don't have that sort of plot point, then it doesn't make a lot of sense. Because if you have someone who's traveling for the sake of traveling and just wandering like aimlessly, then it becomes like, what is this for? Like, where's this person going, right? So most of these movies, the ironically, they're just looking for a place to belong. Even if it's not where they're from, they're going like far and wide and to like different worlds. Like Wizard of Oz, another one. They, you know, different dimensions, yeah. Different spaces, just to figure out their life, their quote-unquote boring life. And Guardians of the Galaxy does that in like so many, many ways, like so many layers. But also, the home that they have is the one that moves around. So the home that they have are the people who he's with and also the Milano or whatever ship they're on, and at any given time that doesn't get destroyed, that becomes home, which is really interesting when you think about it.
Are you saying basically that Guardians and Eat, Pray, Love is the same movie? Because that's what I'm hearing.
Yes, that's the theory. Yep.
Home is where the heart is. I think that I love that so much because I think that that captures the essence of a truly great escapist film, which is to say that visually and mentally and story-wise, you get to be carried away from where you are right now, but you also have the comfort of that message, of the idea of people searching for home and finding it. So you have that completed sense of catharsis, but you also have the eye candy and you know all the rest of it, and you get to be swept away on a story. And the best films that manage to do this, I think, are the ones that combine the two. Earlier, I mentioned Harry Potter and the likes. I think the other thing for me is, and this is one that I watched recently, is Indiana Jones. And broadly speaking, a lot of Steven Spielberg movies, because I think that they have that sense. But when it comes to Indiana Jones in particular, you know, you get to see the world, you get to have great company along the way, and it's just so much fun.
So I feel that way about Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one, just because it's such an adventure in the true sense. You're sailing the seven seas, you have this charismatic, slightly crazy character leading you along, and everything about that world, it's so fun, it's a little bit dangerous, but you also kind of know nothing's ever going to happen that's that awful. Everyone just seems like a cool person to hang out with, maybe just a little smelly sometimes. I mean, it's like travel, honestly.
I like how you put an emphasis on the first one and you just stop there, like the first Pirates. I love the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
That's the only one that exists for me.
For me, all of them do. Like, I could watch those movies like any number of times. Dead Man's Chest, Dead Men Tell No Tales, Stranger Tides, all the movies. And they kind of have that same trope, like Guardians of the Galaxy, where home is either the Black Pearl or whatever ship they're on. Star Trek does the same thing, where it's... I haven't watched like much Star Trek, so I don't know the Voyager, Discovery, and Enterprise, I think, yes, are the name of the ships.
And the ships are their homes, that's right.
It's their homes. Millennium Falcon, same thing.
I have a confession. So, I do have a confession. For me, at least, within these films, I split them up very broadly to the really good ones. You know, the ones that are, objectively speaking, good films, good filmmaking, everything works. And on the other hand, as long as you make me feel kind of soothed and amused and transported, I'm willing to forgive quite a lot. So, for example, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, in the first time that I watched every movie after the first one, I didn't like it. But if you ask me whether it's on if it's on now, would I watch it just to be taken away to the literal Caribbean and, you know, fight ghost pirates and octopuses or whatever, then, you know, I'm all for it. I'll go for it. And in this same category, although slightly deviating from it, are your really terrible movies that in which everybody just looks clean and smooth and everywhere they go is rich and beautiful. And I'm thinking here of really god-awful films like Sex and the City 1 and 2. I don't like the films, but do they make me feel transported to glamorous locations? I'll take it.
I think for me, it's a little tougher because, like Arvind said earlier, I've got to feel something for the person. I want to like them as my proxy in the film or my friend in the film. And if I don't like either of those things, which is why the Sex and the City TV show works very well for me. But the movies, they don't, because I don't like the characters.
And that is fair.
I love that you brought up Sex and the City because I can't travel, quote unquote, to movies or spaces in movies that are very glossy. I don't know why. I always associate travel with a bit of sweat and, like Shamila said, a bit of stink, grimy, sort of like, you know, dusty, different locations like that. But they have to be sort of grounded and they have to be a little bit difficult to deal with. And then I think the travel makes sense or you know, this adventure that whoever is going on this adventure, it's worthwhile. You show me like the glossy ships and the, you know, like flying away in like first class or whatever. And I'm like, not interested. I'm like, why am I even watching this?
That's the thing. So for me, it has nothing to do with making sense or making it feel like I'm traveling. It's making me feel like I'm in a different space entirely. And I think it does that just because of the jolt. And then you remember that they are gross and, you know, the characters are horrible and there's no redeeming quality. But for a moment, at least, I get that thing. Okay, so we've been, like we said, asking you and also asking our friends and colleagues what their favorite picks are. Up next, we have Ti Xiao Yi.
Well, for a bit of comedy, I have Friends playing on loop. It's a bit dated, but I guess I like revisiting that nostalgia of what I imagined adulthood to be like. You know, just hanging out with your friends in a coffee house all day long. Reality is, of course, very different. Speaking of reality, another show that I rewatch a lot is The West Wing. Again, a lot of contrast with reality there and fiction. I guess I like to delude myself that government can be in the service of people, although that show can get quite depressing if you are watching it in recent times.
Are you trying to tell me that the central perk doesn't exist? Like, did Shaori just like break my dreams?
It exists somewhere and Gunther is probably there. Gunther, sorry. I just decided to go full German. But yes, but I'd like to think it does. But
speaking of grit, I mean, Friends in Malaysia would be so gross. There would be rats.
Isn't it Kopitiam? Wasn't that what Kopitiam was?
I suppose. But even, actually Kopitiam is fair. I think my mind just went straight to Mamak, you know, and just it's a completely different space.
But I that's what I was talking about when I talked about Parks and Rec earlier, that I think sometimes the mundane and the everyday can actually be as filled with the sense of escape as the fantastical, because things like Friends or even The West Wing, I think there's something about the okayness of the world, the order of the world, the fact that everyone is essentially all right, that is quite nice to watch.
How ideal do you like your worlds to be, like you guys? Because The West Wing sort of reminded me, like, do you like going to like a different place and then realizing that it's not all it seems to be and like there is evil looming? Or do you like to go to these places and be like, oh, it's better than where we live, so it's fine?
I've struggled this year with shows that are set in our world but are too close to being awful. It just makes me feel like this has already been difficult enough. I don't want to be reminded too much of these awfulness.
It's a mix. Am I in a Sex and the City 2 mood? then I don't mind. You know, but am I in the mood for something that has a bit more substance? Then perhaps not. But I do think the less than ideal thing, sometimes it's enough that the world does its beautiful establishing shot. Sometimes that's enough for me, you know, to make me feel like I'm somewhere else. Okay, we have got some messages because we have been asking you throughout our show, what are your favorite movies that managed to do this for you, to take you somewhere else? Arvind, what are people saying?
Yeah, so over on Twitter, Andrew says, for travel, certainly has to be Mr. Bean Holidays going nice. To Cannes.
Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean, yeah. And Shongan says, I think I've mentioned Lord of the Rings several times before in these lists, but other fantastical movies I enjoy a lot are by Wes Anderson. Need to check in to the Hotel Budapest ASAP. We have a couple of messages on WhatsApp. So this comes from, who is this from? Let me check. This comes from Adeline, who says, Narnia, good call. Mm-hmm. And then there's another message from Ian, who says, Star Trek Discovery. And Steve says, you know, I love Back to the Future and 21 Bridges, which is a cop thriller, when in the end, integrity still holds up.
Oh, that's on the line of Xiaowicz when government was reliable.
Mm-hmm.
I just watched 21 Bridges for the first time the other day. And
is
I
that the Chadwick Boseman one?
It is, yes. Right. It's one of his last few movies, I think, that made headlines recently because he ensured that Sienna Miller got a... Or rather that it's something to do with salary and Sienna Miller. I remember that story coming out. And it is a good film, but it does not do the job for me in terms of escapism, mostly because of all that grit that we were just talking about.
Mm. I agree with Shongan, though, that Wes Anderson is stellar when it comes to creating worlds that you want to escape into. And, you know, it has the quirky characters. It has, it just looks so interesting to live in. And I think that that's one of those cases where the visuals go such a long way in convincing you that that's a great place to escape to.
Worlds where like awkward pauses are normal and like part of everyday life, where mm-hmm. you can just stare at each other for like 20 minutes and no one says anything.
I think that Wes Anderson for me is, I love his films, but also when it comes to escapism, the reason why it works is really because of the aesthetics, right? Real life is messy and it's kind of dirty and, you know, there's dust everywhere. And in a Wes Anderson film, everything is spot on. It's picture perfect. Everyone is. And so despite the fact that the story might be messy and hard and vulnerable, the aesthetics are going to comfort you. So it's kind of that weird balance that they strike. Keep them coming, though. We want recommendations. What movies help to take you away from your homes? Because that's where we've been confined to for much of the year. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with a moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
BFM 89.9, it is 8:25. You're listening to Popcorn Culture, and we are talking tonight about movies that help us escape, that transport us to other places, other worlds. And that was a little bit of Sound of Music.
Yes, doesn't that song just force you to smile and lift your spirits no matter what's happening?
Mm-hmm. Especially with the fake temporary minor key shift.
Yes, only Julie Andrews, I tell you. That was one of my childhood favorites. And I find that at particularly difficult times of my life, I actually get just an injection of joy, not necessarily even watching the whole film, but just watching scenes of it or watching particular songs. And there's just, I mean, granted it is Nazi-occupied Austria, but if you put that part away, the whole world and the wholesomeness of it and the family and the romance, I think it's got everything.
It has got everything. It's such a good, powerful, feel-good film. And when you mentioned like Sound of Music, I was thinking about other musicals that I like. So I wanted to name like La La Land. I love La La Land, even though it's not so much about travel, but it is in a sort of fictional LA. It's an LA that doesn't exactly exist because they have handphones, they have technology, but it's also very 50s for some reason. Like the movies are all from the 50s and 60s. So that's another one. Musicals, like I think like animation, musicals have a way of showing you like this world, the world that we live in, but it's also weird because everyone knows how to sing. You know, and that gives it its sort of fantastical element.
So I love musicals, but I also wanted to, and this is probably, you know, a show on its own, honestly, but I also wanted to highlight music videos, mm-hmm. just because I think that they do very much that same thing, but in a shorter span of time. So in you know, 5 minutes or whatever, you get this perfect little slice of being somewhere else and having that matched up to music. And we started off our entire show by talking about Walter Mitty. And I think about, for example, music videos from Sigur Rós, which are usually, you know, which are set in Iceland. I'm thinking of things like Hoppipola and the ability to be carried away for a little while. And sometimes that's all you need by music videos is kind of lovely.
I really think there's something about music, but particularly music accompanied by visuals that have that transporting quality. Because another thing that's given me a lot of joy and calm actually this year has been Bollywood films. Again, not necessarily the whole films, but even just watching the songs or listening to songs that I know what the visuals are. There's something about the connection between, I think it's what you said, Arvind, it feels both real, but not so real that it's the awfulness of real life. It feels like the kind of world where you can break out into song and dance and everything will be fine.
Yeah. And also, I like that you brought up music videos because music videos, even though they are trying to shoot like in where we live, quote unquote, their CGI never really matches up. So you know that it's not real, unless it's very. Again, it can be very cinematic. So I'm thinking about stuff like Radiohead. Radiohead is like really famous for going all out and shooting on like different locations that look like pictures out of, you know, those old school calendars that you see when you like Balik Kampung and stuff. These old school calendars with pictures that look like you can set as your screensaver, like wallpaper. Those kinds of music videos.
I'm also thinking of Beyoncé and all of her sort of hugely stylized music videos that
she's done. A visual album, in fact.
Yes, a visual album. That's what she calls them. And I love those. I love that idea of sort of a story being set within the genre of a music video. It's the kind of thing that people like Michael Jackson used to do. And I love that Beyoncé is doing it now.
The one that comes to mind for me is Janelle Monáe and Pink. But actually, Janelle Monáe in general does these really incredible cinematic music videos. They also tell stories and her, I guess the styling, right, in the music video also helps to transport you. But so we have one last clip that we are going to play where we asked John Yap, you know, what it is that works for him in terms of transporting him away.
Our family favorite, is all the Miyazaki movies. Totoro, Spirited Away. We love all the animation by Miyazaki. Personally, I also like
watching some action movies just to take my mind off things. Lord of the Rings is another one where I will just pick any one of the parts and I'll just binge on it.
That's great. I mean, another vote for Studio Ghibli, but also I think action movies in the same way as, not for me, but in the same way as like horror movies are kind of underrated because I think there's something about how extreme they are helps to pull you into the world.
No, I love a big, loud, not necessarily dumb, but just a mindless action flick sometimes. Transformers, Michael Bay. I love the first Transformers. There's just, I don't know, explosions and action and all of it in a world where there's relatively little consequences. I think that's quite, I love watching explosions on screen, and when they're done well, they feel so cathartic.
How much like emotional, like what kind of an emotional punch are you willing to put up with when you have these like escapist films? Because I wanted to bring up Up. And Up is one of my favorite travel films. Like just a floating house. Like who doesn't want that? Mm-hmm. But it's also very, it's not easy to watch because it is a bittersweet. It's more of a bitter film throughout because it does deal with like the loss of a loved one, right? So how much are you willing to put up with? Does Up qualify as a escapist film? Because I don't. You think so?
Totally. Yeah, I think so. But I think I'm willing to take the Liesl having her heart broken as long as I had the rest of Sound of Music. The same way with Up. The first 10 minutes are tough, but the rest of the film is such beautiful poetry.
It's just the best, isn't it? I mean, the way that they travel, the falls, the landscape of the falls, the fact that you have like an evil person in a blimp. Like, I don't know what more you could possibly ask for.
A talking dog.
Exactly. A talking dog named Doug. You know, it's just so good. But yeah, so we've been asking you also for your picks. Arvind, what are they?
Yeah, so over on Twitter, another vote for Ghibli. Studio Ghibli movies can help make the world feel more hopeful and certainly more beautiful. Sridharan says The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which we opened with. There's one from Ninja910 who says Designated Survivor, where the president is way ahead compared to our current president. We also have one from this is another one from Ian says Travel Food Shows and like Somebody Feed Phil. Steve said the Jumanji movies starring Dwayne Johnson. You know, when I watched this before the MCU, and when cinemas were reopened briefly, I watched the film again. And Chiu says music videos, thriller set the standard. And he also says that Enchanted as a musical movie has that fantastical quality too.
Ooh, I forgot about Enchanted. I love that film.
I love Enchanted.
Enchanted is great. Actually, we should probably just do a whole thing on, have we not done musicals
yet? We've not. We haven't come around to doing it. Something for next year then.
I think it's time.
But on that note of Somebody Feed Phil, it reminded me of how the flip side of shows like Anthony Bourdain, but one of the shows that has actually given me a lot of escapism is actually the series on Netflix called Nailed It, which is basically just people who are awful bakers but are given these sort of really highfalutin baking challenges and then deliver awful products at the end, and then everyone just laughs at each other and you win something. I love it. Like, I would legit take part in that show just so that I could see how bad it would get.
So this is like the opposite of Up. Like, there's no emotional punch. It's just it's mindless like entertainment.
And it affirms your own failings in every way.
Thank you. So this is what I'm saying. I think that the moral of our show today is home is where the heart is. If you can have a floating home, whether it's in the air, on a ship, or some such, that will carry you somewhere else, all the better. And the next one is that quality can vary wildly, because that's kind of where we're at.
Yes, definitely. Much like travel itself, you never quite know what might happen, but find a fun friend.
I mean, the Transformers went to China in one of those movies, so that's travel, I guess.
I think that's where we end. I think that having brought up Transformers twice now in the show, we might be done. So keep those recommendations coming. We're talking about movies that, we're loopily actually talking about movies that transport us, that help us travel, that bring us somewhere else. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can write to us at movies@bfm.my, and also find us on social media. We are BFM Popcorn on both Instagram and Twitter. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast.
To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.